Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
Stephanie Megan, you're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Therapy is too expensive. You're listening to Broke Girl Therapy. Broke Girl Therapy.
I'm so excited. I love this color. We are bright, and I love your eyeshadow. Everything.
Oh, well, thank you.
Everything. I love it. So let's do it. Let's
do it. All right. Let's do it.
Hi guys, it's me, Stephanie Megan, your host of Broke Girl Therapy, and guess what? We have Dr. Stephanie on the show.
That's right, another Stephanie.
Another Stephanie.
I broke your chair.
Yes, you broke my chair. I've never had another Stephanie on the show. You are the first one, and
well,
you're a doctor,
honored.
Which
I am.
Is like incredible. Do you want to give just a little bit of a background, a brief background for everyone on, you know, what you do and what you studied and all of that?
Would love to.
Yeah.
So I'm actually a clinical sexologist, and my PhD is in human sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
My master's is in clinical psychology. And okay. Then I'm also a certified sex coach.
Okay. Amazing.
I'm also an erotic artist. I paint oil paintings of goddesses. I love to paint nude women, especially I find vintage nude women and paint them. I love that.
Yeah.
And create different themes with it. And I'm a TikTok creator.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thrilled. We met through Danny.
Oh, love me some Danny.
Yes. Everyone that I've like met through Danny, I've just like have been such a huge fan with, because it's just, you guys are all just incredible. And, you know, I've had the show for like 6 years, and a lot of times it's like us talking about like our sex lives and all that stuff. And I, you know, I'll be honest, like in the past, like, I don't know if a lot of things were factual, you know what I mean? Because we were just talking about our experiences.
Well, sure.
And so it feels good to have a professional, let alone a doctor here to like make sure that we have the proper sexual health. And I think that, like, you know, in America, for me, I feel like I lacked that, you know, like lacked good quality education on sex growing up.
Well,
so
we still do.
We still do, for sure. Yeah, it's, yeah. So, you know, like, for instance, I didn't even find, like, where my clit was until, like, a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's common.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, in fact, one of the reasons, because I believe our trauma passes down through our DNA, and one of the reasons I got into this was not only for my own sexual healing, but because of both of my grandmothers. Mm. One of my grandmothers was raped at 14 and got pregnant by her grandfather.
Oh my gosh.
And then the other grandma, she was just a character, but she said she was born without a clit, which that wasn't the case. It was that she was married to the same man for 50 years. They slept in separate rooms, and he never pleasured her sexually. And when she, towards the end of her life, she told me, and, you know, we laughed and thought it was funny, but now I realize there was a lot of pain in it. She said, you know, if I had my life to do over again, I wouldn't have been married for 50 years and had 4 kids. I would have been a whore. And, you know, we laughed and laughed, but then now I realize she said that out of pain, because when she died, they went into her apartment, and in one of her bedrooms, it was ceiling to floor books, romance novels. You couldn't even get in there. So she craved it even to her 84 years old. So that's one of the reasons, too, that led me. I know how important sex is to all of us.
Mm-hmm. And it's like it's crazy, because like I do get a lot of like hate. Instagram likes to like push my content to like a lot of misogynistic men. And I every day there's like just flooding of comments of just like some random, you know, male telling me that like we'll never find a man, or like, why would you put this out there? And it's just like, it's crazy, because it's like we're that's how we got here as mm-hmm. human beings. Like, this is so right. normal. Sex is completely normal. Right. And there's so much shame. And
that's right.
And I'm just, like, glad that, like, we're all here to, like, talk about it sure. and to kind of normalize, sure. the feeling.
Well, I know when I was growing up, me and my sister both were subject to religious abuse. And my aunts would, even at the age of 8 and 9 years old, cast demons out of me in the dark, but they would call it sex demons. And first of all, I knew what a demon was, and I was scared to death, but I had no idea what sex was. So needless to say, I grew up very afraid of sex.
Me too.
And very shamed.
Yeah.
And it took me, in fact, I was married through my 20s, and I remember when we were first married, I would even, after me and my husband would have sex, I would go in the bathroom and ask God to forgive me.
Oh my God. And you were married.
And I was married. So it took me many years of my journey to heal mm-hmm. and get past all of that.
And did you, is that when you started school?
All of that is man-made.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, it was actually before my own personal journey with my own personal sexuality.
Okay.
But all that is man-made because, listen, each and every one of us are born sexual beings. Now, because of our experiences, our upbringing, society, religion, Disney movies, whatever it is, we're meant to believe that this is the way it is. Monogamy, heterosexuality is, you know, if you don't have that, then you're not truly in love. Look, while monogamy, I totally respect it, you have to realize that it's actually a choice. You're going against your very nature when you make that choice. So naturally, after a period of time, you're going to find yourself like a bored of your partner. And that doesn't mean that you don't love them or still even find them attractive. You're just going against your nature. So I have to explain that a lot to my monogamous couples that I work with, that it's normal to be going through this. So then you have to almost work extra hard to bring that excitement back into.
Right. And so I just have so many questions and my mind just like jambled. wait, one by one, Steph. So, going back to like monogamy, I wanted to speak more about like open relationships mm-hmm. and so I have a boyfriend now. Mm-hmm. And I guess right now I would consider us monogamy because we're not like dating any other people. We're not having sex with anyone else. But it's been a conversation of, at one point, like we could explore that. We're just, we just don't feel like we're ready. Mm-hmm. Cause we've only dated for like about like 2 years. So I feel like it's still like, although it's been a good while, it's still fresh, mm-hmm. Yeah. And so like, I guess it's just, and I've never been in an open relationship. Like I was really like you mentioned, grew up with a lot of shame, grew up in a very super Catholic household. My mother now is still like very, very much Christian and
traditional
mm-hmm. and like has, shamed me for even having a show talking about sex.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's still, and like I said, like I found my clit a few years ago. So it's been a journey for me.
Sure.
And I am, I am human. I'm very sexual. So like what is like the first, like once we're ready, like what are some advice to kind of like start having an open relationship and start like, actually no, better question. What are all the different categories of what an open relationship?
I'm going to start there anyway.
Yeah.
So that's right. There's so many different types of quote open relationship. It's basically what you're seeking and what works for you. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that an open relationship is just swingers. It's a free for all. That's not true. Like some people, their idea of open relationship is to occasionally invite a female in or to occasionally invite a male in. Mm-hmm. I have some couples that only the wife plays outside the relationship, but they're open that way.
Right.
Or both couples can see other people or they play together or they have certain rules like they don't allow emotional involvement. Or they have rules that they do allow. It just depends on what they are seeking. I always ask them, well, what are you truly seeking here? Why are you doing this? What is this about? And I find, and then there's people that are just, total swingers, and that's great.
Right.
I find that the couples that are the most successful in open relationships are the ones that do it out of love. And what I mean by that is they say, I love my partner so much and I love myself so much that I want us to have all these beautiful experiences.
Right.
Either separate or together. That's real love. I worked with a couple that was open, and she was actually trying to get him to experience sex with a man, and he wasn't that interested. And I said, how have you come so far to do this? And she says, I love him so much. I would love him to experience that pleasure. Mm. But, you know, because of his upbringing, he was blocked to it. And that's when I thought, wow, yeah, she loved him.
Right, right.
She really loved him.
And so how do you do, because I guess my biggest concern is, like, especially with my boyfriend, like, I do see us having a family. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, eventually there will be, like, kids involved. And, mm-hmm. you know, what if we decide to, like, open up the relationship then? Like, I think my biggest concern is, like, scared of, like, what if it ruins the family, or what if it, like, taints the kids somehow? Like, I don't know. Like, okay, I don't know.
First of all. First advice I give people when they are in an open relationship is to tell no one. Mm. Now, I know some people can own it, and that's great, but especially my couples with young children, I have couples that come from very conservative cultures, and people around them, they have no idea what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I tell them to keep it that way. What a couple does between the two of them, their consenting is nobody's business but their own. I don't care if it's your very best friend that says that she will totally support you. She will judge you. How do I know that? Because we are all human beings. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, unless she herself is there, she will start to fear it. Mm. She'll fear that freedom. She'll fear that. And so she'll start to judge it. So I always, and every time my couples have not listened to me, they've always lost that friend, or they've always felt shame. I just say, nobody needs to know. Your kids don't need to know. Why do they need to know that?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody needs to know. At home, you're mommy and daddy and traditional life.
Right. Well, how about if it's like an emotional relationship?
Okay. I usually don't recommend that.
Okay.
What I have found, why I love my poly clients, they're usually a lot of drama involved.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it's not that you, I always like the idea, if you're looking for emotional attachment with it, just to find something like, quote, friends with benefits.
Okay.
And if you're going to play together, then find you like a group of couples that you like really well.
Right.
And play with them.
Okay. I see. Yeah. Because that was always my biggest concern too, was like, how do you navigate through that? You mm-hmm. know?
Why I would ask then the couple. Okay. Yeah. You're looking for emotional attachments outside of your relationship. I would then ask, why is that? What do you feel is not, what's lacking within you, or what are you not getting that you need that?
I see.
I would explore that first.
Yeah, but that's like, that's therapy right there.
Now, that's different than I need to be friends with them first.
Okay.
You see, that's totally different.
Okay.
Because often one of the boundaries I do give my couples that are starting out is, the boundary is, if you do find yourself having any type of emotional attachment to your play partner, you stop it.
Broco Therapy is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what would you do? Would you go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I mentioned before that I went back to therapy, and that was the best decision I've ever made, because every time I leave a session, I do feel like I just got so much off my chest. I've been suffering with so much anxiety because I feel like sometimes I don't have time. I don't have time to get all the stuff done, or I feel like I'm not worthy of doing a good job of the things that I have to do. And I know that stems from a lot of ADHD. So talking to my therapist, she really gives me the space to just vent and have those emotions, and she validates that and gives me the tool sets to be able to continue my day and to give me that confidence to remind myself that, like, I got this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/brokegirl today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/brokegirl.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Because that was my thing. Because when I was single, you know, again, my relationship with sex is, like a lot of us, there's a lot of shame and all that stuff. But I, when I was single and I was dating around and I was going through like my hoe phase and all that stuff, it was very difficult because I would always form an attachment, even though the guy was like, I just want to just be friends with benefits. I don't want a relationship. And I would be like, oh yeah, I would play it cool. And I would think like, okay, that's fine. Cause like the sex was really good. I don't want to let that go. And then of course I would become attached. So it was really hard to separate.
You know why? Because that comes right from shame. Because in your mind, you thought, unless I'm attached to him, I'm a whore.
Oh, shit.
It has nothing to do with him. You were not attached to those guys. You're out of your own shame. You did that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that you wouldn't look at yourself as a whore.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm healed. This is it. Show's over, guys. We figured it out. We figured it out.
I've been there myself. That's why I know.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's true. Even though it's like, you know, at that point too, like I'm starting to feel empowered. I was learning how to get an orgasm. You know, that was even something that was really tough for me too. And like this one particular guy would like, you know, give me a lot of orgasms, and that was like the first time. And then, so you're right. Like that, there was a lot of shame.
Right.
Wow.
That's why you fooled yourself in thinking you had emotional attachment.
Yeah, because I look back and, like, you know, being in love with my boyfriend now, I look back, I'm like, I know I wasn't in love with them.
Right.
You know, and I just thought, like, is it the oxytocins? Is it, you know? And so, oh, my gosh, that just changed everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even, I'm speechless.
You know, it's especially a problem for women. So it's very common.
Yeah.
And I find that when the female can truly own her sexuality through sex, she is one powerful goddess
for sure. Yeah. And for me, so, you know, my boyfriend now, we talk about eventually getting, you know, one day inviting someone else in sexually, or we'll have other sexual partners, whatever we decide at that moment. But I've talked about it all the time on the show. I've never actually hooked up with a woman. And that was something that I've always wanted to explore and just didn't know how to get there. And I think it was a lot of like body shame of myself, like seeing another woman. Sometimes you kind of compare and like, but it's like, I have this, like this fantasy that I want to see my boyfriend have sex with another woman.
Oh, that's a common fantasy. And that's a very hot one too.
Yeah.
I'm
like, how do I do that?
Comparing is the opposite of love. Whether it's a woman comparing her body to the other woman they're playing with, or the man comparing his penis to the other guy they're playing with, that's the opposite of love. Then again, you're not coming from that place of love.
Oh, so how do I go about, so, you know, you mentioned if you decide to do open up, you know, your relationship, you shouldn't tell people. So how do you go about finding partners if you can't
Oh, there's different ways. There's apps, yeah. And okay. It's all private. But first you have to, and it's fun just to talk it over with your partner.
Right.
What they would be into. And even if it's no more than just play talk, you know?
Right, okay. Right.
Or role play scenes or something like that. But you need to really find out once you start taking that step what that would look like. You know, if somebody could wave a magic wand, what do you guys see yourselves doing?
Yeah. Okay. And I also, there is this like theory that I always hear around with like swingers and the pineapple situation. If there's like a pineapple on the door or if there's like a symbol of a pineapple. Is that true?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Maybe is I that? Just saw a TikTok on it. And I don't
What's
even know.
What's a pineapple at the door?
I don't know. I just heard like the symbol of a pineapple meant like you were a swinger.
No.
Okay. So that's just. Is that just TikTok being TikTok, someone being like starting rumors?
Yeah, okay, starting okay, rumors.
Okay. Okay, so.
No, that's not true.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess like my biggest concern.
And besides, no one's going to go knock at your door. Oh, hey.
Right.
Let's get it on.
That is, I know. That's why I was figuring, I was like, how does that, like, how do you go about if you like leave a pineapple
no,
or you
that's
do something?
Bullshit. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay. 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 Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I guess my like biggest thing is like, I have been like craving, like when we have sex, like I'll like, when we dirty talk, I'll be like, oh, imagine, you know, someone else there and we'll like talk it out. And it's like so hot. Like I just, whoo.
Again, why? Because you're born a sexual being. That's why it's so hot.
Yeah. And I feel so comfortable with him. Like, I feel like good. In my past relationships, you know, there was, I never felt very secure. Like, I always felt like there was a lot of lies, deceit, or whatever it was.
Sure.
And I never thought in a million years that I would be okay with, like, seeing my partner have sex with someone. But, like, because now I'm, like, in a healthy, mature relationship, yes. It's like I'm able, like, my mind is clear and I'm able to, like, explore that kind of like avenue of sex and just like look at sex as just like an art, you know, like versus when I was in a relationship and again, like hooking up with guys, like I felt like I had such a different relationship with sex then than I am now in a relationship. It's almost like, oh yeah, I could just have detached sex, you know, I don't know. But like,
you know what I did when I was doing my bachelor's, because I knew I was going to be working in the field of human sexuality. I would have events for women only. Different types, women that were even conservative or married, all different types. And then I would have something done and then I would interview them afterwards what they felt. So once I had a friend of mine who was a dom bring her slave boy over and she had sex with him with her strap on. And so afterwards I talked with all of the women there and they all said that one thing that surprised them is how natural they thought it was.
Oh, when they used the strap on,
right.
On, oh my gosh, okay.
And none of them have ever seen something live like that before. And that just told me they were all in the present moment and they weren't in that judgmental space.
Right.
And they were allowing themselves to be there. That's why it was natural.
Wow.
You see, our own thoughts, our own judgment is what stops us.
From like really exploring it.
I did many things like that.
So was it when she was had a strap on with a male or just female or anybody just in general? It
was the dom?
Or
no, she was okay. Using the strap on her slave boy.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay. Yeah. Cause I feel like that.
And he was fabulous too. He would like rub all the ladies' feet and bring them cocktails. He was so great.
I love that.
But it really did. They were shocked at how natural it felt.
Wow. Yeah. Cause I feel like I would think it'd be like more of a masculine energy. And like, I think that like, what, and this is just assuming what society thinks. Again, yeah. I'm not, you know, you looked at me too, like, are you sure? You
no,
know,
no, no. I want you to talk, I like to talk about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause, and I know that you briefly mentioned it too. So I want to transition into that, but like it, you know, I guess it is like what I would think would be masculine energy. So it's something that like, it, would I even be into that? Since I do love being more feminine and all that stuff. So, but again, I don't want to like say no to doing anything if my partner ever wanted to explore that. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Because
okay. What I like to do with clients too is I like them to write down all their beliefs about what is feminine and what is masculine. And then go back and identify those beliefs. Where did those come from? Did they come from the church? Did they come from society? Because the truth is, masculine has a softer side, and feminine has a stronger side. You see?
Yeah. I guess, like, my thoughts on it are probably, like, slightly sexist.
Right.
Because it's...
Well, most of us are
most
that way.
Of it, yeah.
We have to really work at overcoming that.
Yeah. And...
There's a lot of men who love prostate play.
Yeah.
In fact, the original one who discovered that was the geishas. And that's what they were well known for. And that's what men would go to them for.
Wow.
They were the first ones that discovered it. And they love it. Men love it. Not all men. But
you're right.
Men who are willing to allow that their partner to play that way.
Right, yeah, because there is that, you know, stigma. And I've asked my boyfriend if he was interested in that too. And he's like, I mean, I respect it with other people. But he's like, like it like makes him uncomfortable, but I'm like, I feel like you'd like it though.
Of course,
you know what I mean?
Every man would like it.
Yeah.
If it's done properly.
If it's done properly, yeah. But it's just.
And I do have an article on my website on how to do it properly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's under my published articles. So they can look. Cool. Anybody who wants to try it can go read it. It's step by step
love
on
that.
How to do it to your male partner.
Okay, cool.
In a safe way.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. So guys, check that out. Send me the link and I'll put it like down below. They could definitely check it out. But I guess I think I'm more like I'm getting drawn to like the masculine and feminine energy because I feel like I'm still trying to and also ADHD kicked in. And also like we are in this generation now where the topic of gender has been more like on the forefront of discussion and understanding that. So it's like I'm even learning how to unlearn those thoughts, because with masculine energy, I just think like it's almost like a buff figure. They could go build a house. They're like tough. They're going to take care of the family. They're all this stuff. And the feminine's just more soft, more like timid. Like you could, you know, it's just like gentle. They're like a flower, you know?
I really feel a lot of our gender stuff that's trying to come out is the planet's way of trying to heal the masculine and feminine that we have so ruined.
I mean,
to the extreme. But most of us see the masculine and the feminine certain ways. Now, within ourselves, we each have those energies. And then we perceive other people with those energies. And if even Carl Jung said that if a woman is too identified with her masculine, it will shut her off sexually. In other words, if she's like this tough, and will never allow her feminine to come in, she has all these masculine qualities, no matter what her sexual preference, she will be shut down sexually.
Really?
Same thing with a masculine. If a man will totally shut down his masculine, it will shut him down sexually. We have to have that balance within us. We have to be in touch with that.
Okay, I see.
It's also very common for people to, because the mind wants to turn pain into pleasure, so it's very common when we have injury from a certain energy to then sexually be attracted to that energy. What I'm saying is it's very common if we have a lot of pain, let's say with the mother, that we will be sexually attracted to a woman, but afraid to act out on it and not even know where it's coming from. And a lot of times it's the mind trying to heal that pain of the feminine energy. And a lot of times the sex can do it.
Right, right.
Because sex is a very good tool for healing our injuries.
I agree.
So it's very common when I work with someone that's all of a sudden out of the blue, they're starting to be attracted. I'll give you an example. Had a man in his 50s, very conservative man. All of a sudden started to want to have sex with men. Was very frightened, married, everything. So I immediately went to the father. And his father had just passed. And his father was very abusive to him. And I said, I think the healing needs to come from the father, the masculine.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And
yeah.
he See, you threw me off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, it's okay. No, it's a good thing when I cry. Yeah. It's a breakthrough. Yeah.
So, I know what it was, because I told him that. I said it could be, you know, from the Father. Let's heal on that. And he said because all his sexual fantasies were just basically being held by men.
I see.
And then, you know, pleasuring them, but they're just mainly them holding them. So see that, so we have to take a look at our desires and where it's coming from. And then some people have outside the box desires, and they'll come in and tell me about it because there's nothing I have not heard.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, is this because I had some traumatic experience? And I'll say, possibly, but who cares?
Right.
Because the mind is wanting to turn that pain into pleasure. So you go with it. As long as it hurts no one, you allow yourself to heal.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, like I said before, like, I've always wanted to explore with women, but just never, you know, crossed that boundary because, you know, one, obviously shame growing up, like, you know. And then I do have, like, a tough relationship with my mom. Mm. So, like... And I'm close to my dad, and I feel very, like, comfortable with my dad, and I love my father. Yeah. But my mom was, like, always, like, such tough love. Yeah. So.
You're seeking, then, it sounds like you're seeking tenderness.
Yeah.
Softness that you, the feminine, can provide.
And touching. I don't know how to be soft and tender with, like, a woman, you know, because it was always just, like, my mom was always so, like, intense, you know? So I, like, never, like, even till this day, I mean, sometimes she'll have her moments. She's like, I love you. And she'd be sweet to me. And I get really uncomfortable, like, so uncomfortable. My dad says, I love you, and hugs me. It's, like, fine. But my mom gets all sweet to me. I'm like.
That means you need healing with the feminine.
Yeah. And I'm, like, so, like, I get, like, I roll my eyes. I get really stiff. And I'm very, like, you know, like. I feel like I'm very affectionate. It's just with my mom, for some reason, I can't, like, show emotion, and I get really stiff when she, like, even gives me a hug.
Now, remember, when we bring these things to the front with ourselves, it's not to blame or shame our parents. Mm-hmm. It's to better understand ourselves and how we need to heal.
Right.
Because most of our parents just did the best that they could at the time.
Right.
So it's to understand, okay, what do we need for our healing? And it does sound like you do, whether you experience sex with a woman or not, you do need feminine healing.
Yeah.
Healing of the feminine.
That's crazy. I'm, like, mind blown right now. Like, I'm going to cry.
Aw, love.
I'm also getting my period a few days, too. Oh, so okay. I'm also, but it's a mixture of both for sure. And another thing, too, like, I've actually never even admit this to anyone, but I feel like something is, like, telling me to, like, say this out loud. Okay. So bear with me if I get a little emotional. But so it's really, I've kind of tried to, like, black this out in my life, but I felt like, I think, let me try to, like, recollect. But I do remember when I was about 6 or 7, I had, like, a best friend who was, like, a neighbor. We're not friends anymore. I don't even know where she is. But, like, she was, like, a neighborhood friend. And we, like, made out when we were, like, 7 or something. And, like, we've, like, I can't remember fully what happened. But we was, like, when our parents were around, like, we would, like... Mm-hmm. kiss or whatever it was, but I always knew it was, like, obviously not good.
Was she your exact same age?
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, that is 100% completely normal.
Really?
Most people have had that, even men. It's very common that their first experience be with their own gender, even a heterosexual male.
Wow.
Very common. Very, very common. That's one of the most common things.
Really?
That's sort of natural.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends, because in our time that we're brought up, it's not natural. But, like, if you look back in, like, Marie Antoinette time, that's what girls did. And it was open, out in the open. They played with each other sexually like that.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how they, you know, got ready, got themselves excited. So we were taught that's not good. As long as one person isn't older or one person isn't forcing it on the other, if it's both consensual,
yeah, like we were just like playing house thing,
that's very normal.
Whoa,
that's very normal.
Okay,
that's natural. You did, like, what you're natural, you see.
Yeah,
that's when your sexuality was natural.
Wow.
Then it began to change over time. See, it began to, it's got to look this way. It's got to get closer. It's got to get this way. This.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt like for so long, it was like such a confusing time. Like I, even when I was younger, like I questioned, I was like, do I like girls? Like, because I, you know, like I would see like someone on TV and I'd be like, oh, she's really pretty. Or like, and then again, that happening with my friend, you know, and then like, then feeling like something, you know, obviously it felt good. It was like nice. It was, but I like, and I remember like when I, a few years ago, when I kind of reflected back, I was like, was she like, take, like, was she like, I was like, I was thinking like, maybe she was like, I hate saying this word, like molested or sexually assaulted.
Well, did she initiate it?
She initiated it.
It could be then. It could be.
Yeah, because she was the one that like brought it to my attention. Like I didn't even I wasn't even like curious or anything
as
like that.
As
long
as
she,
you weren't being forced to do it.
I wasn't forced. I mean, I don't even remember at this point. Like I remember it was just something like, oh yeah, like she would tell me
somebody
about it.
Somebody had done that to her then, unfortunately.
Sad.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody had done that to her.
Yeah.
But it wasn't forced on you, so it was more of a natural thing.
Yeah, like she was, you know, she just like, she just, you know, was like, oh, let's do this. And then I'm always the type of person that's like easily influenced, you know, when I was, especially when I was young, I was like, yeah, sure. You want to like pop this molly? Yeah, okay. You know? And so I just was like, yeah, sure. Whatever my friends want to do. I like to please people, like to make people happy. So it was, you know, one of those moments where it was introduced to me. And so I
just like, it's natural for a child, a baby to touch itself. And want to play with itself. And that's why it's very dangerous for a parent to say that's bad. You tell the child that you tell it it's natural, but it's not something that you do in public.
Okay.
That you can do it in your bathtub or you can do it in your room.
Okay.
You don't shame the child for that.
Okay. Good to know. I don't have any kids, but like I eventually do, and I'm sure. And I know a lot of parents do listen to this show, so it's good advice. Okay. I feel like I'm... It like all I feel really good that I let that out because I've never even told my boyfriend, like even some of my closest friends.
Honey, that's so normal.
Okay.
Most every one of us, a lot of us have the same story.
Like, is it around like the same age? Is it like a certain time frame?
Different
like
ages? Doesn't matter. Different doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes cousins will do that. I mean, all that's, it's, it happens because we're born sexual beings. It happens. And there should be no shame in it at all.
Okay.
Unless someone molested you, like an older that hurt you, then there, that's wrong.
Yeah, yeah. That's and wrong. That makes me sad that that's definitely, because I did like look back and I'm like, she really initiated, like she knew what to do. Like she taught me how to
but
kiss
you
her.
Willing.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, okay, like, you know, there's a lot of innocence, you know, to it. And then.
Yeah.
You know, but then she also would like mention like, oh, like don't tell your parents type of thing. So like she knew it wasn't.
Somebody had done that.
Yeah. Yeah. So she knew that was like, she was also teaching me like that wasn't like a good thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So that, okay. Wow. That makes me sad. Okay. Well, shit. I'm like, we talk about so much. So open relationships, you know, younger, like sexuality. Is there anything else you feel like, you wanted to kind of go over as well too?
I would like to mention the importance of play, the importance of our sexuality. Okay, so our sexuality is an energy and an essence that lives within us. Sex is only one way of expressing that. There's many ways of expressing your energy. Some people through the way they dress. Some people the way they cook or they garden or their art or their comic books or whatever makes you feel alive, what brings you joy. That is when you're using your sexual energy, even sports. If you use your sexual energy towards something, you can bet you're going to be real good at it.
Yeah. How do you use your sexual energy towards something?
First, you discover what it is that brings you that passion, and then you go, you really go with it. Like something that you love, then you go with it, go with it, go with it. And because sex is only one way that's going to fulfill you. if you want to really get in touch with your energy. Like I had mentioned before, my TikTok, that I use my sexual energy for that. I create all my characters. I call it my circus. That is my energy right there on display.
Yeah.
So I recommend everyone doing that, finding out what that passion is for yourself and doing it. Also, sex itself should be playful and fun. If you like to dress as characters, that's okay. If you like to role play, that's okay. I always say what happens between two consenting adults or a room full of consenting adults is great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great.
Well, like whatever floats your boat type of thing. It's like a way to really like, you mean like, yeah, get into character. Like I almost feel like, you know, when I'm having sex with my boyfriend, there is this, like, I do kind of get into character, you know, like, maybe not a specific character. I'm not, like, a bunny or anything like that. It's just more so, like, it's a sexual heightened version of me.
Well, we all do. But you can get into characters. You can be a bunny. My whole point is, I've worked with people that they have to dress like the Renaissance era when they have sex.
Right.
I had a client once that she always wanted to dress as a little girl, but from the 1800s.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's so creative. Something that, right, she had gotten in touch with, whether it's a past life. We don't know about why people want to do that, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that's what stimulates them.
Right.
You see.
Yeah, yeah. And for me, like, I haven't explored too much of, like, different characters, but I just do notice, like, going back to, like, making pain into pleasure, you know, like I mentioned before when I was going through my hoe phase and when I was single and stuff like that, like, and I would have sex with guys, like, a lot of times I'd, like, meet guys at a bar or, like, go on a, you know, or online and, like, go on a date and then I'd go home and we have sex. And, like, I would feel, like, a lot of shame. Like, oh, why did I just have this one-night stand with this guy? You know, all these things. And, like, now with my boyfriend, like, I love to envision just being, like, a fucking slut from the bar that he picks up and just fucks.
I love it.
And I'm just like.
I love it.
And I'm like.
That tells me you need to heal your whore self.
I do. Oh, my God.
You need to heal your whore self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do I like heal my whole self? Is that
just through a journey?
Yeah.
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 Free yourself.
And I guess that goes back to like my biggest question about like shame, how we mentioned in the beginning, like, you know, the religious shame or like our parents or just society in general, right. You know, telling us that we shouldn't be so sexual. Like, what are some like, you know, some advice that you give people out there who are struggling with that? You know,
it all comes down to, I recommend, first of all, working with either a sex coach, sex therapist, someone that is very open and loving.
Yeah.
They can really make a difference in your life, even if it's just a few sessions. They can really help you. But it does come down to self-love and permission.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like I also didn't really masturbate, like, till this day, like, you know, really? Master, like, I don't really, like, I love a vibrator, don't get me wrong, like, love a vibrator during sex, like, I've, you know, if I do masturbate, it's, like, I'm masturbating in front of my boyfriend, like, it's, like, we're doing it, like, together, but I've, like, never just had, like, alone time and just, like, masturbated, like, by myself, and that's something I think I need to start getting comfortable with, because there's still like a lot of shame in my own body.
So masturbation can be a tricky one. While it is healthy and it is good, it can also interfere in relationships. What I mean by that, I get a lot of couples that come in, we're just only having sex once a month. We just, neither one of us have libidos anymore. Okay. Are either of you masturbating? Yes, we're each masturbating like 2 or 3 times a week. Well, guess what? You don't have low libido.
right. You're like, it's there. Yeah.
So masturbation can get in the way of doing the hard work to get laid by your partner. That's where it can cause some problems.
Yeah.
But if that's not an issue, then definitely it can be a healthy thing.
Yeah, because for me, like, and I mentioned on the show before, like, I, again, ADHD, sometimes my mind could be, and I'm like a workaholic, still trying to deal with that with my therapist. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I have so much on my mind that like I don't even think about sex. Mm. And like, but he has like a higher sex drive.
That's a very important one you just said. Okay. Because our sexuality is like an appetite. That's why I work with something called sexual anorexia.
Oh, it's,
so let's compare it to food anorexia. You go long enough without eating, what happens? Your stomach shrinks to the point where you do not even desire food anymore. In fact, you're revolted by it. Sexual anorexia is the exact same thing. You can go without it so long or starve yourself so long that you lose your appetite. A lot of people, because they're so into labels, will label themselves asexuals when in fact they're just suffering from sexual anorexia.
Okay.
So I think it's important for males and females, but especially females, to feed that appetite every day, whether it be having a few naughty thoughts or watching, reading a little erotica or watching a little bit of naughty porn every day or looking at some nudes or something or some hot guys on Instagram or hot girls on Instagram. Feed it every day. Just feed that appetite to keep that appetite growing. Sex is something that the more you have, the more you want. And it's the opposite too.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Because like I, you know, even when I was single, and again, like I said, I would get like super attached to guys that would only just want sex and nothing more. And there would be points and where I would, you know, pretty much be celibate, where I would deprive my having sex with partners because I knew that like they would hurt my heart and it would break my heart and all these things. So I was trying to protect myself.
Yeah, sure.
And so, and honestly, even before my boyfriend, like I didn't have sex for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so now getting to a relationship, and I thought like, I was like, oh, once I'm in a relationship, I'm going to fuck every day. But it's just like, it actually is like been the opposite where it's like, I'm so used to like grinding and working for myself that I like, and not having sex all the time that like I've now in a relationship, I'm like, oh wait, like.
Well, you're obviously using, because you're so good at what you do, your work is a reflection of your sexuality. So that's powerful. That's good. But yeah, you don't want to deny yourself that physical pleasure.
Right.
As well.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like that advice to like just even
every
little
day.
Things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's like sometimes you think like, okay, well, maybe just start masturbating and it could be like, well, I don't feel like it, you know, but it's just the small steps. Just saying
something
sexual.
Well, you don't even
sexual.
Have to go that far.
Yeah.
You could just
yeah.
think some naughty thoughts in your mind. To give it a little appetizer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Because he like.
You said earlier, I don't think about it. Well, that's the problem. Think about it. Think
yeah.
about sex. You think about sex all the time, you're going to be horny all the time.
I know. And well, you think though, like I'm editing the show, like you think that I'm thinking about sex, but it's like it becomes work, you know,
yeah,
because
sure.
it is work. And I mean, I love what I do and all this stuff. But like, yeah, when I am in the zone of like business wise, it's like, I don't even think about me having sex, you know, I don't even think about any of that. And like, he like, I mean, masturbates like every morning. Mm-hmm. Like he's, if anything, like he's the opposite where, and this is where we, you know, cause sex is great when we do have sex, but like it's getting there. Sometimes that could be difficult. And like you know, he's the opposite where when I'm stressed, I don't want sex. When he's stressed, he wants sex.
Of course.
And so I like feel bad, like I feel guilty that like I can't give pleasure him all the time. You know, I mean, he never makes me feel guilty.
Sure.
He's very understanding, but of course he's also human and like has his needs and stuff. So I, try to be considerate, but sometimes it does get difficult,
sure.
unfortunately, you know? And so, cause I want to make him happy and he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, I mean, there's a balance. It's not most people can't have sex 2 times a day. They don't have time,
right?
So I mean,
yeah.
there is certainly going to be a balance, and it all depends on people's ages and how long they've been together, is what the balance is that you strike.
Right, right. I've learned a lot.
Oh, good.
Like this was very like eye opening.
Well,
because
thank you for having me.
Thank you, and like I mean, I've even like. Like, you know, unloaded yeah. some trauma that I, you know, have never even admitted to anybody. So
sex is so important because even with things like depression or anxiety, it can be healed through sex. There's two ways to go about it. People can go to, you know, therapists and work on their depression and that. But you can also get in touch with your sexuality, that special part of yourself, and heal yourself that way.
Yeah.
You can find who you are as a human being through your sexuality.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And you change.
I do feel more relaxed.
Kinsey scale. Are you familiar with the Kinsey scale?
No, I'm not.
Yeah,
elaborate.
Kinsey believed he from 0 to 10, 0 being totally heterosexual, 10 being totally gay. He believed all of us throughout our lifetime float different levels of the scale for different reasons.
Yeah, I agree too. I always say, like, I don't think, you know, anyone's really just like just heterosexual. Right. Or, you know, like, I think that we've all had at one point, like, curiosities of what mm-hmm. you know. I also like before we end mm-hmm. but I feel like this wasn't something I've been wanting to talk about. I think this is the perfect time. Mm-hmm. I had a comment on my Apple Podcast reviews where someone like kind of was upset about the asexuality and how it wasn't and that they were like, why are you acting like, you know, we're I forgot exactly what they said, but they're like, that it's not real, like we matter too. Mm-hmm. And for me, I don't remember if I said anything negative or what exactly triggered them. But I think if we kind of just give them a space to like, or for us to like feel more educated on what asexuality is, if you feel comfortable with that.
Okay. So that is, I noticed a label that brings out a lot of anger because there's some people, they want to identify with that and they want to own it. And you cannot even question them about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I've had some people knock me
personally,
for it.
Personally, I would say, because being a clinical sexologist, I would ask them what that means and why is that so important to them. And then I would explore different things like the sexual anorexia, perhaps some trauma in the past of why they can't feel, you know, experience pleasure, and also then I would explore the sexuality versus the sex. So let's get in touch with your sexuality. I would start there. Forget the sex. Get in touch with your sexuality.
Yeah, like meaning like the pleasure or what you're attracted to.
Again, remember, goes back to, yes, what makes you feel alive?
Okay.
What brings you the pleasure? It is actually very uncommon, extremely rare. But again, don't spew hate at me because I know people get very angry over this. They really want to own that title, that label. But, and you may be, but it's worth, because your sexuality and sex is such a beautiful and important part of life, it's worth exploring that maybe it's a little deeper than that.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Don't come after me.
Don't come after me either. Yeah. I have enough hate. Trust me.
Same. Oh, my God. I deal with it all every day, all day. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, thank you again. This was very enlightening. I feel like this was therapy. So, I hope that, and I know for sure that a lot of people are definitely going to feel enlightened too, especially about how, you know, what happened when I was younger and like you just being like, oh yeah, no big deal. Yeah. That's totally normal. It's like, then without a doubt, someone needed to hear that too. And absolutely. So that was, so thank you. Mm-hmm. Any last words? Where can people find you? Mm-hmm. All the spaces, all the links.
I'm TikTok, the erotic doctor with a K. And you're going to put all that in there. And
Yeah.
And my website is just my name, StephanieHunterJones.com.
Yes.
And all my paintings are on there, all my published articles, and all that great stuff.
Amazing.
And my articles are full of very good information from squirting to everything. So a lot of how-tos on there.
Amazing. You guys, I'm definitely going to binge read everything because I still have so much to learn. But and then follow me, Stephanie Megan, or go to brokegirltherapy.com. All that shit is there. Love you guys.
Love
you. Bye.
Broke girl therapy. Broke girl therapy. Broke girl therapy. Broke girl therapy.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.